Yeah,
working, maybe.
Not that good.
Barely.
All right, you guys ready to roll?
You don't want that one.
All right. Okay, so I want to talk tonight about a story we've heard, we've seen it in the Torah, and as kids we learned it, and okay, it is what it is. And it's the story of what happens when Lot and his wife, they're in the city of Sodom, and Hashem decides he's going to destroy Sodom and Amorah and all the surrounding area. But he says he's going to save Lot and his family. Hashem decides that. In the merit of Avraham, fine. So what does he do? Hashem sends two angels to go save Lot, his wife, and his family. It doesn't say exactly who yet. So what happens? Lot is hesitant. Okay, fast forward. Finally, the angels decide, we got no choice. Going to force them out. They're all going to come. So Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. Okay, and what happens, famously? Lot's wife turns around, and what happens? She becomes Nitziv Melach, Pillar of Salt. We've all heard this story, right? And it's a cool story, right? Did you ever think about it? It's wild. What is up with that?
I think I've got a salt shaker here that says, Ishes Lot.
What, really?
What? Seriously, I mean, it's a nice story, and it's great in elementary school, and it certainly captivates, you know, the kids. Okay, but we're adults now. What is the Torah telling us with this? What am I supposed to learn from this? And to show you just how far the ramifications are, if you open up the Shulchan Aruch, you open up the Code of Jewish Law, it says that if you visit the site and you see the pillar of salt that's there, you have to make not one, but two brachot. Two. One, Baruch Dayan HaEmet, right? You have to make the bracha as you do when you hear bad news. That's on behalf of Lot's wife. But you also have to make a bracha for what? For saving Lot. Zocher HaTzadikim. God who remembers the righteous.
It's I never found the pillar, by the way.
Couldn't make the bracha.
Where is that?
No one knows.
Where do you think
it is? No one knows where it is.
It's right by the Yam HaMelech.
No, but no one knows exactly where it is.
Okay, I'm just telling you. Its place is right by the Yam HaMelech. No question.
There's those spots that you see that
It's called Eshet Lot. Maybe it is. Maybe I don't know. Yeah. I'm not into the archaeology. I have no idea. But it's in that area. It's not in Tel Aviv, correct. There's no chance. No chance. They got other things that are salty in Tel Aviv, but this is not it.
It's a bar named Sodom.
So the bracha you make, it's interesting. The bracha you make is Zocher HaTzadikim, remembering the righteous. One second. Hey, who's the tzaddik in this? It's not Lot.
Right.
It's Avraham. It's the fact that Lot and his family are saved in the merit, in the schud of Avraham. So it's just interesting. So it has real ramifications in practical halacha, if you go. But what's up with the story? I'll ask some basic, basic questions. What did she do that was so wrong? Okay, so she turned around. You went against her. Okay, if we were all held to the same standard of not following what we were told to do, we'd all be pillars of salt. I mean, what did she do that was so wrong? Number one. Oh, she looked back. Okay. Number one, so fine. She did something wrong. Such a severe punishment. You know, people who've done significantly worse transgressions, they die, okay. They can live many, many, many years, and okay, and they die. But to be so severe, not only that, but we have a general principle. God doesn't punish in just indiscriminate ways. When he punishes, it's midah kineged midah. It's measure for measure. There needs to be some corresponding lesson that the person can learn from, or that we can learn a lesson, but it's got to be a measure for measure, right? One of the downsides of the American legal system is that, just, you know, not that anyone here is in a position to change it, regardless of the crime, the punishment is basically the same.
Say it again.
Regardless of the crime, the punishment is basically the same. If it's incarceration, it could be incarceration at a minimum level or a maximum level.
You mean, but it's supposed to
it could be rape, murder, right? Put him in jail. Capital, grand larceny. at a high level get incarcerated. They're all the same, but it's totally different crimes, but the same punishment.
In this country.
Sorry, as opposed to
Mida Kenegan Mida. There should be something associated with the crime. But not literally. This is not Hammurabi's code. But there should, in the Torah, it doesn't work that way. You know, it's not for tonight, but if once upon a time when we used to do business law and things like that, there's a whole discussion. Is there such a concept as jail in Jewish law? It's not so simple. Okay, but that's not a jail. It's one particular crime in a very unique circumstance.
Safe place, right?
Yeah. So, but here it's just one, basically. Okay. Where's the Mida Kenegi Mida? Now, let's go even further. Fine. It's some crazy punishment. So she turned into a pillar of salt. Why salt? Why salt? Why not pillar of pepper?
Oh, I wanted the rest.
Sorry, you're good.
You're joking.
Right? What? So what? Where's it going, Joe? Huh? Where's it going? Right? Why salt? Did anybody know?
No.
That's a weird punishment. So Rashi tells us on the spot. Come on, Doc.
Was it salty before? Was the Yom HaMelech salty before this happened? Or this?
No. Okay. That's not from her. It's when Hashem did the upheaval of Sodom and Amorah. It says it rained gufrit v'melach.
She did.
Sulfur and salt. I mean, it just turned the place into one salt area.
She didn't give salt to the guests.
Okay. So Rashi brings that Lot was willing, even though it's against Sodom rules, to have guests, because they were very into their own self-gratification, no idea of sharing, none of that stuff. So Lot brought guests into the house, and he said, I'm preparing all this, but do me a favor, can you get some salt? Can you give me some salt? And she went in, she blew a gasket. What, it's bad enough that you're doing with guests? You want to bring that custom into Sodom too? She refused to do any level of chesed for someone else as it related to salt. Mida keneged mida, she's turned into a pillar of salt. Okay, but still, they are having guests. She was willing to have guests, which was against the rules, number one. Number two is if Lot is preparing all this, why'd he ask his wife to go get the salt? Get the salt yourself. Careful. This part is recorded. Be careful. Okay? And again, it seems so severe of a punishment for not giving salt. So, this is really what it does, is it at least highlights, we have to look at the story a little bit differently. Try to examine this from a whole different perspective. Let's go back one parsha. Sid in Parsha Lech Lecha. Okay, Lech Lecha, just last week, we came across the story that Avram is told to start his journey. Lech Lecha, go. Where is he going? He's leaving his hometown of Haran, and he's heading to Eretz Canaan. He's going to Eretz Yisrael. Yes? Who's with him? Who's going on this journey with him?
Sarah,
as well as Lot. Lot is his nephew. Why does Avram care whether Lot comes or not? Almost as if you read the Psukim carefully, it says, and he took Lot together with. Like Avram's making a conscious decision, I need to take Lot with me. Why?
Family.
Okay, he's got other family he's leaving behind. He left his father behind.
Yeah, he knew Lot needed Kiru.
Yeah, how did that work out? Sometimes you're not so successful. Right?
I think I was pointing at you.
No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just, right? Why did Avraham take Lot? We're not using names here, folks. Why did Avraham have to take Lot with him when he left Haran? So I didn't ask this question. The Zohar asked this question. The Zohar is bothered. Why is Lot coming along? And the Zohar says something fascinating. Avraham received with Ruach HaKodesh, right, with divine inspiration, whatever the words are, that an ultimate descendant of Lot is whom? Famous Jewish leader. David HaMelech. David HaMelech, King David. You knew that because you know the end of the story with Lot, right? They're saved and he's just there together with his two daughters and he lives with them and they each have a child. One is called... Anybody else here? One is Moab and the other, come on, they go together. Amon. That's correct. Ammon and Moab, those are the two. The big nations that become a major thorn in the side of the Jewish people, right? One of the seven Canaanite nations. Ammon and Moab, okay? Where does David HaMelech come from? Who's his ancestor that has that? Somebody HaMoaviah? Ruth HaMoaviah. So, comes from Moab. Moab is from Lot. So, Avram gets, says the Zohar, Avram has Ruach HaKodesh, that an ultimate descendant of Lot is David HaMelech. And he says, whoa, I got to protect this. I got to protect the, you know, Lot, make sure he's okay, because ultimately you have Lot coming, you have David HaMelech coming from him. Lahavdil, I shouldn't record this, right? It was so reminiscent when I came across this of Terminator, right? Of where he has to protect.
I was thinking like Back to the Future.
Okay, like, right? To me, that's what came to mind. Terminator, you got to protect the kid. Got to protect them. Why? Because it's the future. Right? That's what this is. Lahavdil. Definitely take my rabbinic license for that.
You're doing the editing? Edit out loud.
So therefore, he needed to protect him. So even, I'll show this even more. Even when Avram gets into a fight, Avram's shepherds get into a quarrel with Lot's shepherds, and they decide they have to part ways. Yes? Remember that? Right? It's also, right, within Lech Lecha Vayera. This is our story. So what happens? Avram says, if you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I go right. Says Rashi, what kind of terminology, right and left? Rashi says, because I don't want to distance myself. It's not like you go left, I'm going to the Far East. He says, I'm going to stay nearby. Slightly over to the right if you go left. Rashi's terminology is, B'chol asher teshev, wherever you're going to settle, lo esrachik mimcha. I'm not going to distance myself from you. Ve'emod lecha lemagenu la'ezer. I will be there for you as a shield and a helper. Rashi already told us, the mission statement Avram is alluding to is, I have to keep my eyes on you. Why? Because he sees ultimately that David HaMelech is going to come from him. Perhaps this will explain why Lot is hesitant to leave Sodom. If you knew, you're watching what's going on. I don't know if it was a day or 2 days earlier, the angels came, Lot takes them in, and everybody's knocking on the door. Hey, I heard you have guests. Take them out. We want to get to know them. Right? And what does Lot do? He says, no, I'm not going to give them out. Strangely enough, he offers his daughters instead. Another whole conversation, right? But what does the Torah say? That God comes down and smites all of the people, men, women, children, with blindness. Blindness. They can't find the front door anymore. Strange. You're watching this. You're Lot. You're watching this. And sulfur and salt are starting to fall. And God has told you the whole place is going to be turned upside down. And the angels say, come, let's go, let's flee. What's your natural instinctive reaction? To go or stay?
To flee.
To go. Who's going to want to stay? Lot is very hesitant. He doesn't want to go. Why not? Why is he so hesitant to go? It's not normal.
Did he know that?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. Did he know that they were angels? Maybe. I don't think so.
That makes it.
I don't think so.
What do you think of that?
Does Lot know who his descendant is going to be? You see, if you had that crystal ball, and you knew that David HaMelech is going to come from you. Like, so then,
right? But he didn't know that.
So I'm throwing it out there. Yeah. Maybe it was shared with him. I don't know.
And that's why he went all out and offered the salt.
Okay, he's willing to take care of these people, right? But it also would explain why he's not rushing to leave, because he knows he's got protectia.
If he knows that he has descendants, then he knows that means he's not dying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's not rushing to go.
Yeah.
Exactly the point. Okay. I thought that's where you were going. You were so close. Okay? I'll tell you where we're getting this from. This is the key phrase. What do the angels tell This is key, Kenny. What do the angels tell Lot and his wife not to do? What are the words? Three words. Al tabit acharav. Do not gaze, do not look acharav, behind him. Do not look behind you. That's literal, right? Don't look behind him. It's a funny expression, isn't it?
Right.
Al tabit acharav. Not only that, Rashi comments, don't look behind whom? Who's acharav? After him. Who's the him in the sentence? Rashi says, Lot. This gets even more difficult. Don't look behind Lot. What does that mean? See, as kids, we just translate it as don't look back. But that's not what it says. Al tabid acharav. Don't look after him. Come on, pieces together.
Generational.
Yeah. Sid's hit it on the head. Al tabid acharav means don't look what comes after him. You think you have protection. You have no reason to run. Why? Because if you look further down the generations, what will come after Lot, you'll see David HaMelech comes. So Lot and Mrs. Lot all think the same thing. What am I rushing? We got this made in the shade, man. This is good to go. I got this. Why are we rushing? Because we're going to be okay. Because who else? The angels say to him, though, I'm telling you that when it comes to a dangerous situation, all bets are off. Yeah. How God's going to work it out, that David's going to eventually, I don't know. But that's not your concern. There's a general halacha. You cannot put yourself in a makom sakana, a dangerous situation. Why? That you're going to rely on a miracle to survive? You're not allowed to do that. So yeah, you may have insider knowledge that, yeah, there's a generational thing, ultimately David and Malcolm. But you can't use that to say, I'm going to ignore the current and present danger, is what the angels tell him. So Lot says it, okay, I get it. I get it. What does Mrs. Lot do? Vatabet ishto acharav. That's the term. His wife looked acharav. Doesn't just mean behind him. It means what's coming after him. And she's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not. So she looks and says, I'm good to go. I'm fine the way it is. Okay, you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, fascinating way of looking at this.
Who says this?
It's a combination.
It's an interesting, I guess my question is, are you looking past it? Is the Hebrew translation of acharav?
Yeah, instead of meaning just physically behind him,
that's like the English translation is what I'm saying.
Acharav means what comes after him.
It's the same thing you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Achar, tell me, right? You can use the word achar, which can mean timeline,
or also beyond.
Yeah. Can mean behind something, right? Acharei hapargud, you know, right? You see what's behind the curtain.
Oh.
Or you can say what comes acharav, what comes afterwards. They're both in that word, okay. So vatabet ishto me'acharav. Rashi says me'acharav shelot. Duh, obviously, no. She thought that everything's going to be okay for her. Why? Because David obviously is destined to come from. Well, who else would it be if Lot's going to be with me? It never even crossed her mind that it would be her daughters. So she thinks she's got it made in the shade. She's good. No, she's wrong. So this is part one. Okay? That this is all about a future generation and Lot has to be convinced she wants no part of it. But it doesn't answer all the questions yet about why salt, why that. So let's change gears for a second. There's a mitzvah, not a deraisa, it's not a biblical mitzvah, but there is a mitzvah that at the end of a meal, we have what's called mayim achronim. Most of us blow it off. It's not without good cause. Many, many, many authorities say nowadays it's not an issue. But the Gemara actually discusses this. And the Gemara actually uses the words, Mayim Achronim Chova. Mayim Achronim is an obligation, as opposed to, interestingly enough, Netilat Yadayim beforehand is only Derabanan. It's a mitzvah Derabanan. It's only one of seven. Did you know that? Washing for Hamotzi, while you should continue doing it, is only one of seven mitzvahs that are derabanan. There's hundreds of enactments of the derabanan that they put to safeguard things, but actual mitzvot, there are only seven. Washing your hands is one of them. Okay? But mayim achronim at the end of the meal is chova. Why, says the Gemara? Because melach sedomis shemisame et ha'inayim. There's something called sedom salt, sodomite salt. What's so terrible? Because it could blind the eyes.
But only men.
Not so clear. Doesn't say that.
No, but it's a ridiculous thing. The minhag was only for men.
I don't know where that comes.
Stop. That's brought down. You know that. That's in the Mishnah Berurah.
He's being recorded. It's being very vague.
The Mishnah, whatever.
I'm not telling you anything you haven't already heard.
So, My mother-in-law did it. There are many, 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 many women who do it as well. You know what I'm talking with Mayim Achronim? You know what we're talking about? At the end of the meal, they usually some people will pass around the cup, and they have little fingertips, you know, and somebody...
You've drinking it before. I wouldn't remember by the end of the meal.
So what's up with that? So the Gemara just says is because there was this salt from Sodom, right, that is dangerous, literally means to blind the eyes. But it's very hard to understand what does that really mean. Where did you pick up sodomite salt at your meal that all of a sudden you worried about it? You didn't have it at the beginning of the meal? You dipped it in salt. Just don't use Sodom salt. Use table salt.
Oh.
It's that kind. It's unique. So, okay.
Where did you get that?
It, back then, it was something that was common.
It's halal market.
It was very common. It's that one of the... On Liberty Road, they have these...
international market.
There you go, international market. Right? Do you have any...
My grandfather owned a motorcycle shop in Canton. It's now a halal food store.
Oh, wow.
All right, you can edit that out. It's crazy.
That was Kenny Friedman.
I'm editing it. I'll do whatever I want.
So what exactly is this? It blinds the eyes. Whatever. So there's a lot of discussion about this, but I read a couple of beautiful ideas.
You do Mayim Achronim?
Often. I don't do it as much as I should,
but I do try to do it. Like the silver thing where you
like I have a different one. I have a beautiful one from Eretz Yisrael that I use. I'm not as careful as I should be.
Are you using it?
Yeah, I'd say pretty, more than most. More than 50%. Not from this table.
That's an interesting answer also. Like, how do you decide?
Because sometimes I'm rushing and sometimes I forget and I got a bench.
Sometimes you have Sodom salt.
Right.
Sometimes you have Sodom salt.
Do you have to say bracha when you do it?
No. No bracha. No bracha whatsoever. Okay.
More common in the past.
Yes. It was much more common, certainly in the Talmud times, for sure. For sure, which is why many contemporary ones say you don't have to worry so much about it because we don't have it around. So that danger is not so applicable. But be that as it may, the Gemara doesn't just tell us for health reasons, be careful for the... It also says a lot of things, but shemesame et ha'inayim, it blinds the eyes. So again, a lot of discussion about it, but one beautiful insight, and that is we know that Sodom people had a vision problem. And I don't mean because they needed glasses.
As ball of papers.
They had real vision problem because their perspectives were all warped. Their worldview was so narrow. It was all about me. It's all about the self. That's why there were laws on the books not to have guests, right? Or they had laws that said we make beds a certain size. I mean, come on, I remember this is in my Hebrew school, and they told us, hey, and if a guest came or somebody moved into town, or whatever it is, they had beds only a certain size. And if they were too short, so they put them in the stretching machine. Or if they were too tall, they would cut off part of... Okay, why? Because it's got to fit our thing. It's all about self. That was the worldview. And therefore, it led into a lack of care and concern for anything other than what pleases me. It's all about my taiva, my pleasures. It's all that mattered. Okay? In fact, without getting too far into it, part of what the attraction, why Lot decided to go to Sodom in the first place, Rashi tells us, is because Vayisa Lot et Einav, Lot, quote unquote, lifted his eyes and he saw that the whole area was fertile, had all these things. The same phrase about lifting his eyes is almost the exact same expression you find by Eshet Potiphar, by Yosef. Same exact expression. What it says there is, Vatisa eshet adonav et eneha el Yosef. She lifted her eyes, right? Who, the wife of his master, i.e. Potiphar, towards Yosef. What's that all about? Immorality. It's about illicit relations. Part of what attracted Lot was, hey, this is the Hefker life. This is free, man. This is all great. It's about satisfaction.
But doesn't Avram also have
it? Yes, it does. It does. But there, I think Chazal pick up on it, is that what does he lift his eyes to? Vayisa Einav and Vayar et Hamakom. What does he see at the place? He sees a cloud. He sees the Shechina. His vision is also a looking towards something, but it's in the opposite direction.
Doesn't
King
David,
David Yes, Esa Einai El Harim, you're thinking about.
Yeah. There you go. Right. The Batsham, when he looked at Batsham.
It also does say it there. It does say it there. Yeah. Look, lifting up your eyes isn't of in and of itself a problem. It's what you're looking at. What attracted you? Are you looking towards a more spiritual aspect, or are you looking more for a physical? So he looks at the area of Sodom, and he's attracted to the immorality. He's attracted to the financial well-being, because it was doing extremely well economically. It's a fertile land. All these things. People used to say, right? How do you know that? Whatever. When they came knocking on Lot's door, when he heard that he had guests, right? They said, bring out the guests, v'neda otam. We want to get to know them, right? Wink, wink. Get to know them in the biblical sense, right? And Adam knew his wife. What kind of bait? Yeah. But that's what the society there was. Okay? So you have that. And you have the money. Like I said, it was all about self-gratification and the physical desires. I'm going to read you a phrase from the Gemara, and it will put it all back together again. Very simple.
Sorry, and that relates back to vision, because
their world vision was all in it.
Able to have...
It was all about their own, correct. Okay. Not willing to see outside of themselves. Okay. It was all about them. We all want to do well with our investments of money. We all want to do well. How can you preserve your money? Give me a very simple investment. Simple.
Gold.
Nope.
cash.
People.
What do you mean?
Land.
It's like
slave people. You invest in your people.
The Gemara says three words.
He just says sleeves.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Oh.
People.
I thought that was your thing.
It's going to need some editing.
Yeah. This is going nowhere.
Melach Mamon Chaser. Melach is?
Salt.
Preservative mamon money. For money, the preservative for money, chaser.
Withholding, lacking.
Lack. Give it away. Give some away. Give some away. That's what I thought you meant with people. Invest in people. You want to preserve your money, give some of it away. We read it a few times a year. Aser to aser, eikol tfuat zarecha. Right? Aser to aser means you shall surely tithe. Give ma'aser. Give a tenth. It's a double expression. Aser to aser. Just say to aser. Rashi quotes the Gemara. Aser bishvil shetit asher. The sin becomes a shin. Give some away. Give a tithe. You will become wealthier. Yeah. This wasn't a solicitation.
Also,
that's later.
So, Vayikhu li truma.
Correct. Vayikhu li truma. Correct.
You're not taking. I mean,
correct.
You're giving, but really you're taking.
There's a palindrome. Vinutnu. Okay. And to give, vinutnu, it comes back. Always comes back. Always. Plus, with interest. Melach, you want to know how to preserve? Mammon, your money, chaser. Detract from it by giving to others. That's what the Gemara says. That's why perhaps it's called Melach Sodomis, Sodom salt. Because in their perspective, they think the way to preserve it is to hold on to it. That's dangerous. That's blinding you. That's the danger. Oh, Melech Sedomit. Whoa, now you're playing with fire. Because then you're taking the ideology that what is all everything all about? Me. That kind of salt, that kind of preserving is dangerous. It's a dangerous world perspective. That vision is dangerous. That's blinding. Therefore, when we first sit down to eat, which is all about physical indulgence, let's be honest, that's what it is. Our sages were concerned we might get swept up in that worldview. So therefore, the first thing we do is we wash our hands in the Netilat Yadayim. You do a ritual aspect reminding us this is all part of a mitzvah. This is all part of, yeah, I need food to have energy, but it's for a reason, not just in and of itself. But then that's not enough. Then you ate, and most of us eat very well. At the end of the meal, I indulged. I partook of that, filling up my belly. Therefore, we wipe our hands because of a concern. We incorporated the Melech Sedomit mentality. We want to wash our hands again.
It's the same reason we bench also after.
That's why it precedes benching. Exactly. This is the precursor to say, I didn't fall prey to it. And bad word. I meant to say, right? I didn't fall into the trap, and therefore I prayed to Hashem, thanking Him for the food, and it's not all about me. It's exactly why, if you don't do it in the middle of it, you do it right before benching. Exactly that point. Okay, it explains now why also, when you wash your hand, Netilat Yadayim, to start the meal, after you wash, which way do you turn your hands? You just finished one, two, three if you're Chabad. One, two, and then you're about to make the bracha. Don't start drying your hands yet. You lift them up, right. Upwards. Right. It's for two reasons.
I don't think a lot of the people impurities do that, though.
What?
The impurities go down.
Thank you. Correct. Because if you turn it down, the water that went past your wrist, right, this part is still tame. Mm. So then it comes back.
That's how we scrub for surgeries, by the way.
Always turn your hands up so that... There's a logic to that.
Such a brief note.
You're right.
Is that on the podcast?
It is. We heard it loud and clear. Loud and clear. Okay? However, from Mayim Achronim,
turn it down.
Turn it down. You wipe it and then you put your hands downward. Why? Why? Is because this idea.
So that's right.
Okay. They took their hands down.
Yeah.
Why? Is because it's the opposite. I don't want to go up with the intention of, look, kochi ve'otzim yadi, look what I did. It's all about my strength. No. I turn my hands, which represents my activity, I turn it downward. I turn it down a notch. Downward. Okay, let's answer all our questions now with all this information. Lot's wife, she's still identified with the Sodom mentality, with the Sodom ideology. In fact, that's really the concept. If you turn around to go look at something, you're still connecting with it. I'll show you where I get this from. When the Jewish people were leaving Egypt, you knew this was coming. What does it say? It says, Klal Yisrael were leaving, and they turned around and they saw that Mitzrayim was Nosea Achareim. Mitzrayim was chasing after them. But the word Nosea is Lashon Yachid. It's in the singular. And it should be Mitzrayim Nosim. Because all of Egypt, you know, tons of them were coming after them. Why is it in the singular? Rashi again quotes from Chazal that Nosea, that what? They saw the Malach of Mitzrayim, the angel, the archangel of Egypt. What does that mean? So I explain that means if you're still associated with that culture, you still have a connection with it, it's coming with you. It's chasing after you.
Take them out of Egypt.
You can take them out of Egypt, but the Egypt was still part of them.
Take the
bullet. Okay. Right? Same idea. If she's turning around back to Sodom, that means she's still connecting with it. Can't have that. That's why she turns into not just a pillar, we'll talk about it in 1 second, but a pillar of salt. Why salt in particular? Now we understand. Because salt, in her mind, is that preservative. How do you preserve all what you have? Keep it to yourself. This is the ultimate reminder. Incorrect. That's not the right salt. That's not the right preservative. The right preservative is flee from the Sodom aspect. Go away from that. Learn to salt it by helping others. Focus on their well-being. And perhaps that's why it's a pillar. A pillar is the same as a preservative. It's something that is stationary, no change, no growth, no hope for anything. It's stuck. It's stuck. It's preserved in whatever state it is. That's why she's turned into a, specifically the pillar of salt. So you put this all together. The original questions were, okay, what did she do so wrong? She looked back. She associated with that mentality. We asked, why such a severe punishment? Because that's not what life's all about. It's not all about us. It's learning to care for others, seeing beyond ourselves. Where's the mida keneged mida? Where's the measure for measure? Spot on. She wouldn't get the salt. That means she had the Sodom mentality. Okay, so she turns into that pillar of salt, which represents stagnation. All about no growth to go beyond ourselves. Rashi says, why salt? Didn't want to give the guests exactly what we're saying. Every bit of this is exactly the point. So when we read the story about them going and trying to hesitate and going back, not about pillar of salt, now you have a much deeper, perhaps a much greater appreciation for what the Torah is teaching us in this aspect. Sid, you are spot on tonight.
I was just thinking how I came full circle and how you explained it so well. Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Thank you.